Welcome to the Aging Well podcast. I'm Jeff Armstrong, here with Corbin Bruton. In this and the episodes that follow, we will share candid discussions on aging and hear from the experts. We are here to inform and encourage as we experience, well, aging. A key component to aging is financial preparedness. Everyone wants to have the resources to retire and be cared for in their latter years. We have to prepare for the expected and the unexpected. Today's guest is Todd Youngdahl. Todd is a managing partner and financial advisor with Washington Wealth Advisors in Virginia. I will share his contact information in the episode notes. So Todd, just tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Jeff. My name is Todd Youngdahl. I'm a certified financial planner and managing partner with Washington Wealth Advisors. We have two office locations in Northern Virginia, but obviously we work with clients all over the country. I have been in the business for now about 23 years, started right out of college, graduated from West Virginia University with a finance degree.
I was going to throw that in.
And I knew that I wanted to combine my passion for investments and finance with my passion for helping people. So I always knew that this industry, the financial service industry, was something that I wanted to be a part of. So I started a career with American Express Financial Advisors. They broke off their financial planning unit to a company called Ameriprise, which I shifted over as an independent financial advisor in the early 2000s. And then fast forward about 10 years later, 2011, my partner, Morris Schaus, founded Washington Wealth Advisors with the hope and the idea that we could provide, you know, independent financial planning and wealth management advice completely conflict-free. At that point in our careers, that was something that was really important to us. So she founded the firm in 2011. And then a year later, I followed and joined Washington Wealth Advisors as a managing partner. And yeah, things have been very good. We've seen a lot of growth. We have a growing team, now about 8 people. So things are good.
So you've been doing well for us too. So that's always good.
Yes, you're longtime clients. So we have a lot of clients that we have worked with, you know, for 20 years now and been through many stages of their life with them.
Yeah, because what, Pam and I have been married 17 years and you were with her for years before we even met. So
yeah, I think Pam and I, Pam and I lived in the same condo complex in Shirlington, in Arlington, Virginia. And she was referred to me from another client. I mean, I would say it's about 20 years ago. Yeah. So, it's a blessing to be able to work with clients who become friends and, all through various stages of life.
Awesome. So what does one need financially to retire, especially these days?
So that is a loaded question. every person that we meet with has a very different and unique situation. And I think that's what's so special about what we do, is that we are very focused on, you know, the individual or the family and what their specific needs are. So one of the first things that you have to think about for retirement is, what are your goals? That is the number one question that we ask people when we first meet with them, is, what do you envision for your future self in retirement? Because that really does drive the planning. So what I mean by that is, you know, what age do you want to retire? Where do you potentially want to live in retirement? Do you think that you want to do part-time work in retirement? So really thinking deeply about what your planning goals are is how we start the discussion, which helps us then provide advice on what you should be doing for retirement. And that really does take a lot of analysis. So taking into account what types of assets or investments you may have already built up, what are you currently saving? We factor in, you know, various assumptions like rates of return and inflation, and we help, you know, guide people in terms of what types of savings, what types of investments they need to put into place to get a good roadmap towards a successful retirement.
And considering the kind of theme of this podcast, to what extent do you see people planning for the unexpected and for the undesired, you know, for the fact that they might get ill, they might have live longer than they have. I mean, there's both extremes there. You know, you might be disabilitated or you might end up living a lot longer than you've financially planned for.
Yeah. So one of the core components of financial planning is protection planning. So obviously what most people want to focus on is the exciting stuff, right? They want to focus on, you know, what investments are going to give me the best return to help me reach my goals, retirement, kids' college education, you know, planning for vacations and, you know, home renovations. So obviously that is what drives most people desire to seek out a financial planner and to get assistance. But one of the things that a lot of people maybe don't think about is the protection planning, which we incorporate in all of our advice. So what I mean by protection planning is exactly what you just alluded to, which is, you know, unforeseen events that can derail your plans that you've put in place. So it could be things like an unexpected death, an unexpected disability, or for people who are aging, it's long-term care events, things that may put them in a position that they no longer can care for themselves and may need assisted living or someone to come in their home and help them. And as I'm sure most of your listeners and everyone is aware, those types of care are extremely expensive. So typically what we try to do is, depending on what stage of life a client is in, we would identify which types of those protections we need to be discussing with them. So if they're, you know, a young married couple comes to us, you know, life insurance, disability insurance is at the forefront. But if a more pre-retired client who's maybe 5 years away from retirement comes to us and is seeking help, then we're probably more focused on long-term care and identifying what they may need from an insurance perspective, because that is typically what you have to look at to help yourself prepare, is typically some types of insurance to help protection.
Great. And so when should one start to financially plan? Now, again, this is a loaded question, I guess, as well, but just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen people come to us at all different stages of life, but I would say the bulk of the clients that we work with, you know, once they've had a few years in the workforce and they have a stable job, stable income, they've started doing the basics, like contributing to their 401k to get the full match, right? That is one of the first things that most people need to do when they first, you know, are employed, is if they are working for a company and they offer a retirement plan, such as a 401k, a lot of times there is a employer match. And that's free money. As long as you're contributing what that match is, that's free money to them. So those things that people know about and typically do, and once you have those things under your belt, then may be a good time to seek out a financial planner to take your planning to the next step. You know, investing in investments outside of your work, sponsored 401ks, Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, brokerage accounts, we help people build up emergency fund, you know, cash reserve, because that also ties into planning for the unexpected. One of the key things that people need to be doing is making sure that they have some type of safe, secure cash reserve or emergency fund that, you know, is liquid, it's safe and accessible, so that if they have unexpected expenses, that's somewhere that they can draw on rather than have to go into debt. So, yeah, I don't know if I have a specific age or time frame, but I think, you know, when people come to us is when they are ready to take whatever they've done And they believe just to get started and kind of take that to the next level to help them, you know, get on a better plan.
Yeah. I mean, I think with, having teenage kids right now, and we're finally kind of getting them to start thinking about saving a little bit. And, you know, I grew up in that generation where, I don't know at what age you got your first little passbook savings book, you know, and you went, you saved, you know, money from Christmas and things like that. And, you know, I think that's an important aspect that we probably don't teach our kids enough of. And then why we're seeing, you know, huge college debts and then people putting themselves in a hole before they can even kind of get out of school and begin to save and begin to have reason to kind of come to you and say, I have this money to invest, you know? And
yeah. I mean, you bring up a great point because this is a lot of, I mean, with our clients, you know, aging and clients that we've worked with for 20 years, for example, and now they're getting into their 50s and pre-retired and their kids are growing up. This is a huge conversation we're having with people in terms of now kind of that generational planning to help talk to our clients about how can we educate, you know, young adults, teenagers, they get their first jobs, you know, they start to get their first jobs and they're getting some paychecks and they're putting it in savings accounts at the bank. But as you probably know, savings accounts at the bank earn very little interest right now based on the interest rate environment that we're in. So it's a wonderful time to start talking to them and educating them on the power of, you know, compounding, investing early, tax benefits of things like a Roth IRA. I mean, a Roth IRA to me for young adults, college kids who have some employment is such a powerful vehicle because if they start when they're 20, by the time they're 60, you know, they could have a very sizable asset that is 100% tax-free to withdraw upon in retirement. So I'm very passionate about helping, you know, younger generations learn early and start early in their savings goals.
That's awesome. It's probably one of the biggest keys to aging well, financially at least, is starting early and planning ahead.
So starting early, yeah, saving often because, Jeff, one of the things that I think is important to tell people is that the one thing that you can control when it comes to your investment plan and your financial plan is the amount that you save. We can't control what the stock market is going to do. We can't control what the bond market's going to do. We can't control what interest rates will be, you know, now or in the future. But what you can control is the amount that you dedicate and save, you know, to your various, you know, goals.
Awesome. So what should one consider in kind of choosing a financial planner, financial advisor?
So I think nowadays the industry has really evolved into people being very, they look carefully, they're educated, you know, with the internet, people can really interview many different financial planners. I think what we're very proud of is that we are what is called a fiduciary. So I think that is something that the general public is really looking for nowadays to work with a financial planner and advisor, somebody that has their best interests at heart. That is our sole duty, you know, as a fiduciary is to provide unbiased, conflict-free advice to our clients. So I think, quite honestly, that's probably a great place to start is looking at planners and advisors who are holding themselves out as a fiduciary fee only because there is no commissions. No one's earning any commissions. All investments that we would be advising clients on are on a level playing field. So you're not steered in any one direction. The other thing I think if you asked most of our clients why they work with us is trust. I think you really have to feel comfortable and have a, you know, good relationship with your advisor. But I think it's trust. At the end of the day, I still come back to that's probably the number one reason why people work with us because they have a strong sense of trust that we're doing, you know, what's right for them.
I'd have to agree with that. And, you know, the fact that Pam kind of brought you into our relationship, you know, I knew that she had, you know, trust in what you were doing. And anytime, you know, she said, well, yeah, I met with Todd. He suggests we do this. We need to talk about, you know, do we want to do this? And I'm like, sure, go with it. I mean, I that trust has kind of carried over, you know, to me as well, because she's had the relationship with you and obviously had the success and so on. And I think that is very important. And it kind of leads to my next question is, how should we go about finding a financial planner? I can't recall who referred Pam to you. I know
it was actually Marlene.
Okay. I figured it was probably Marlene. Yeah. So,
yeah. Yes. Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I think referral is obviously, you know, asking friends, family, if they have a financial planner. You know, sometimes people don't like or feel comfortable talking about, you know, money and their own finances with other people close to them. But I think just asking, say, you know, do you know someone? Are you working with someone? That's a great place to start. You know, and then you can also, good old Google. I mean, you can Google fiduciary fee only financial planners in your area, and, you know, review a few websites and kind of see who speaks to you, right? You know, I think it's the websites are, you know, people's storefront right now. So sometimes people just feel like the message that's being sent out, when they look, you know, can give them what they need to at least have an initial conversation. I mean, I'll tell you, we offer, you know, an initial no obligation consultation to anybody that comes to us or is referred to us. So there's no, there's never any harm in having an initial discussion with a financial planner, because at the end of the day, you know, if it works or it doesn't, there's no problem in having that initial talk.
Anything else you would like to kind of share with the listener in regards to, you know, what they should be looking to do as they go forward? Maybe any, obviously you can't share specifics about people's cases, but, you know, maybe certain examples where people have done things well, done things poorly, that the listener might be interested in?
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly give you some examples of, you know, I think clients who, I'd say what I would say I work with and what I'm seeing a lot right now. And I think, again, it ties into the aging well and just aging in general, is what I'm seeing is clients that I'm working with, that I've worked with for a long time, they're getting of that age where they're really starting to reflect and reevaluate, you know, the next stage of their life, right? So they've spent the past 20 to 25 years being, you know, working really hard, trying to make as much money as they possibly can, save as much as they can, juggle many different demands, right? Their own retirement, their kids' college education, the home, their home, renovating their home. You know, all these different things that they're, you know, been working on. And now as their kids are getting older, they're trying to figure out, you know, is what I originally set out to do for my longer term plan in retirement, is it still something I want to do? So honestly, that's the best thing and best advice I could give, is for people to take pause, take a step back and say, you know, if you have a financial planner, sit down with them, have this discussion. If you don't, you know, have it with your spouse or your partner, and really, you know, see, are we still on track for achieving what we set out to do? And are there changes? So I, you know, for example, I have a lot of people that now are saying, you know, I don't know that I want to do the career that I'm in for another 15 years, full time. I'm burnt. I'm spent. And they come to me and they say, Todd, can you run some numbers and run analysis based on our portfolio and what we've built up, and could we potentially, you know, retire in 5 years, leave what we're doing now, still work, you know, not completely, you know, not have any income at all, but shift into something that they enjoy more, or a second act, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I'm really hearing a lot of those type of requests, you know, being able to just evaluate, could I not do what I'm doing in a few years and maybe work part-time and shift gears into something that, you know, that I enjoy more before I kind of head off into a more full retirement.
Yeah. We hear so many people that have done that in the last 2 years over COVID, you know, it's just like, I'm done with this. I'm just going to, you know, do things, you know, an online business or whatever it might be. And
totally. Yeah. But I think for people to have peace of mind to make a massive shift like that, they really do need to have someone, you know, as a partner to help them evaluate if it's possible, to be able to do not only now, but how does it affect your future 30 years from now? Right. So, you know, that's a lot of what we do in terms of the analytical planning process that, you know, when we talk to clients.
Yeah. I really believe that the finances is a very important piece of the aging process that we tend to ignore, you know. And being an exercise physiologist, my focus tends to be on the health side of it.
Right.
And, you know, keeping yourself healthy and well and keeping out of the hospital and hopefully preventing Alzheimer's and dementia and Parkinson's and anything that we can prevent in that order. But there are things that we cannot prevent. And the one thing that we can do to ease that burden is to be better financially prepared and to plan kind of how we track our lives beyond, you know, living in a 5-bedroom house to, you know, where am I going to live that I can easily transition should I need additional care. And I appreciate you coming and talking to us about the financial piece of it today. I have one kind of final question that I generally ask all my guests, and that is, what are you doing to age well?
Well, so I have 4 kids. And a new puppy. So I'll tell you that they keep me on my toes, keep me moving, keep me very busy. So some days I think that may be aging me faster, but some days I think it's also keeping me young. So, honestly, I think balance, that's for me, you know, where I'm at in my stage of my career, my stage of life. For me, I think for myself to be able to continue to age well, it's just having a lot of balance, you know, balance between work, balance between home, balance between self-care, taking care of myself, feeling like I'm able to work out and exercise as much as I need to. So I don't know. I think that's, for me, the best thing I can do to help myself continue to age well.
That's a very good approach. I appreciate it. Well, thank you for joining us. This has been a really great conversation, and I'm sure that the listeners will greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much, Jeff. Happy to be on and talk about aging well financially. So,
all right. And keep making money for us.
I will do so. I will try my hardest.
Thank you for listening. I hope you benefited from today's podcast. And until next time, keep aging well.